I'd like to call to order the Wednesday, April 4th, 2018 meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. May we have a roll call, Mr. Karp?
Yes. Board Chair Austin?
Here.
Vice Chair Nichols?
Here.
Director Hill?
Here.
Okay, if you all please stand and join me in the visor. Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. That brings us to agenda review. Is there anyone want to change the order of anything on the agenda?
Not I.
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, then we'll move on to public comment for items not on the agenda. So if anyone wants to speak, you have 3 minutes to speak to anything that is not on the agenda.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I would like to ask your board, as I have before, to rescind the censure of Mayor Hill. I would ask your board to censure Mayor Scholes and former director Mary Lucy for reasons that I've stated in the past. I'd like to point out what's not on your agenda is still no cash reports, still no current financials. How do you know you can afford to pay the bills that are before you if you don't have current financial information? You should be asking some very hard questions. I would also ask your board to agendize consideration of civil action against John Wallace. Thank you very much.
Does anyone else have public comment?
Good evening, board. Brad Snook, chair of our county's chapter of Surf Rider Foundation. We've asked the board to agendize the potential coastal development permit for the district's brine discharge program. That includes the truck hauling, that there was no environmental review beyond asking the neighbors how they felt about having less trucks driving for their houses, which of course they would say, yes, we would appreciate less trucks. Boom. So the redirecting the new path that the trucks are taking on the south side of the airport has not had any environmental review. There was no consultant that came in and said that it was safe for the trucks to go through that gate to come into the plant with a brine for the types of trucks that come in there. We're curious whether the biosolid trucks are coming in and out through the same route because the neighbors asked for less trucks. So, as we found out when we interviewed, when we had our meeting with Mr. Karp and Fanny at the district, there was no standard operating procedure for the brine discharge program in general. And so, we're working and we're asking for that to happen. And I think the only way that that can happen, the coastal development permit and documentation of the brine disposal program, is if the board says we're going to put it on the calendar when we want to report, and then we're going to decide whether we're going to direct staff to pursue a coastal development permit on the brine discharge program. So I'd appreciate it tonight if somebody raised that with staff and say that I second it, and we'd like to put that on the agenda for a future meeting. Let me know, because I would be glad to outline all the documentation that we presented so far and make that part of the staff report. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. I wanted to talk about the last two meetings of the Sanitation District. Arroyo happens, Arroyo Grande is a member of the League of California Cities, and that group has a lot of information for city mayors and council people, et cetera. And I think some of their guidelines could kind of overlap to the district. And the League of California Cities, they talk about how to lobby legislature, how to make sure you're not violating the Brown Act, how to include the public in meetings in preparation for the city, various things. And they have a section on successful mayors. And so they had some do's and don'ts. One of them was to show respect for staff. Then another was do not publicly criticize manager or staff. Take up disappointments in private. The work of the district is done by staff, not by the board. In other words, do not direct staff, the manager, city manager, or a technical consultant does that. Director Hill seems to use a different technique when he deals with staff. It never mentioned in being a successful mayor to yell at staff. And particularly when you're yelling at staff regarding job descriptions, it's up to the manager, technical consultant, to assign job duties. It's not up to the board. It was inappropriate to yell at staff. Also, successful mayors don't ridicule and humiliate the district managers by calling them bunglers probably 24 times at public meetings. Maybe, Director Hill, you can send a link of the last two meetings to the league for their review. To yell and humiliate staff at public meetings does not bring honor to the sanitation district and or the city of Arroyo Grande, the two entities that you represent. And I did ask your fellow council people to watch the two meetings so they can see how you represent them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else have public comment?
Colleen Kubel. I just wanted to correct something that was just stated. Director Hill repeated what Cambria said of what was going on down here. And so what she's saying, it came from Cambria as that word. Okay, so he was repeating what he was told.
Anyone else?
Mary Lucio Sciano, in the past, we've included in your board packets water quality reports for the biosolids and stuff going out into the ocean, and I'd like to see that brought back on and at least posted on the website. And then also, too, as I wanted to know, as you discuss the issue regarding expansion or changes to the board, will you be including behaviors and such, because I agree with Shirley Gibson, it was really very embarrassing last meeting. And so if you're going to discuss those things, then I'll wait. If not, I'd like to echo my sentiments. It was embarrassing to see a director he trying to attempt to humiliate and demoralize staff in a public setting. And so if we're going to discuss it later, then I'll be happy to hold my thoughts. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Okay.
Patricia Price. I wanted to read something from the personal policy manual that we...
Your mic's too far away.
Okay. On the personnel policy that we have right now, this we're using right now, this is not about the new one that we're talking about. It states in section 2000, substitute employees. A substitute employee is one who, at the request of the district administrator or his or her designee, fills any permanent position which remains continuously unfilled by its incumbent for 20 days. Due to the incumbent's approved leave of absence, the appointment of a substitute shall be terminated prior to the return of the incumbent. If the incumbent does not return, the substitute can apply for the job, blah, blah, blah. Amy Simpson was put on a paid leave of absence, and when she came back, she was not given her original position. And the reason I say that is because Mario is still there. Faye Russo is, we're spending a lot of money on her as a bookkeeper. And Amy did those jobs before. And it seems that when she came back, those people should have been let go and she take over that position. Now that is the personnel policy manual that we are using now. We haven't approved the new one. We're still discussing that. I think that legal or somebody should address that because she should have been put back in her original position according to the personnel policy manual we are using now. As far as referring to the health and safety code 4730-4735, the governing body of a sanitation district is a board of directors of not less than three members. The presiding officer, the governing body of each city, is a member of the board.
Now, this is on our agenda.
It's not on our agenda, or it is?
The talk of the three-member board and the...
This is not about the three-member board. This is about the directors. It says in the health and safety code that the mayor of the cities, in this case, Grover, he is supposed to be on the board. Now, if he doesn't want to be on the board, his council decides on an alternate, period. They do not decide on an alternate, and an alternate alternate. Now, that's the way I read it. Legal, perhaps you would check into that. Lab technicians. Do we have a lab technician yet? Do we have a qualified person?
3 minutes.
Testing?
I don't think our thing is working. It's been, your time's up. I'm sorry. Your time's up. Thank you. I don't think this.
I don't think the connection's working.
Yeah, our light isn't working, but you were way over the 3 minutes, so thank you. It's just. Well, he has the timer there, but it's not connected here is what's happening. And we don't know. Well, you can just signal when, because they're able to do the 3 minutes. You can just give me. Okay. All right.
I'm sure you have one of these.
Okay, let's move on. Is that anyone else have public comment? Seeing none, I'm going to close public comment and we'll move.
Can we make a brief response?
Okay.
First, regarding Mr. Snook's comment, can we agendize the items that he's requested the board to take up? With.
We'll talk about that right now. I think we had talked. I think we had talked about the Brian, Mr. Karp.
Yes, Madam Chair. I previously told Mr. Snook I would not be recommending that you get a coastal permit for the truck movement or the brine that we were operating under a procedure that we had been using. If you would like to change that, then he's correct that you'd have to probably agendize it in some way and direct staff.
Okay.
But at this writing, I have told him, no, we're not going to do that.
Right. All right. Thank you.
I'm confused about the discussion of the procedure we've used in the past, because I was just informed, or I have been informed for some time, that there is no in fact, no procedure. So I'm confused about that.
Is there anything else?
Yeah, for the record, I've not yelled at anyone. I did comment that certain aspects of the job had been bungled, and I stand by those comments.
Okay.
Also, for clarification, to the best of my knowledge, no, we do not currently have a lab tech.
Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Is there any items anybody wants to take off the consent agenda?
Madam Chair, I'd like to consider all of these items separately.
Everyone?
Yes, please.
Okay. Let's see. I can't remember. Now, if we do everyone separate, do we do public comment on each item then? Or do we have people do public comment on all? Remember, we got into this last time. I know if we just pull a couple, we do them separately, but since there are none to be approved as a consent.
It would be up to the discretion of the chair if you'd like to have public comment on all items or to allow public comment on each item.
I think I would ask for public comment on the consent agenda to save time, and I think that would work just fine. So if anyone would like to speak to any of the items on the consent agenda, please come forward.
One word, Madam Chair, can we hear your comments first?
Sure. Okay. On the warrants, what did you have a question on? What did you want to talk about?
On the warrants, I see that we have $2,375 on warrant number 2881. It seems to me to have exceeded the authorized contract by a substantial amount. So I don't see how we can support that tonight. Also, we have warrant 2886 in the amount of $22,861.51 from Liebert Cassidy Whitmore. Which it's like the gift that keeps on giving, I guess. They keep billing and billing and billing. We're never informed of any progress or completion of any activities that they've performed. And I believe this billing specifically includes $750 that this board has specifically rejected for consideration twice previously. So I would not be able to support that as well. 2887 for Human Resources Services, $3,500. I am not aware that the district has a contract again with this organization. There may have been one issued recently that I'm not familiar with, but I'm specifically aware that we had a contractor with a different organization. So I'm confused about that as well. Perhaps there could be some explanation given on that one.
Barbara, did you have any questions on?
Well, I would like clarification on the Human Resources. Is Lara the one that did the manual, and who is the other? There was one other small Human Resources bill of 420 to Regional Government Services. I'd like the differentiation on those.
Okay, so I went over the warrants with our technical consultant, and I had the same question, so he's prepared. I think he was going to
Yes, Madam Chair and Directors, Lara Services did do the manual, but also has been on board to take care of the retirement issues. You may recall we limited the amount we would pay, and then we needed to collect the payments and reimburse them.
and the reimbursements will be considered taxable by the IRS if we do not do the bookkeeping necessary. And it includes handing out forms and noticing them that these are reimbursements rather than benefits. And that work that you see from Lara Services has involved a considerable amount of discussions with the IRS and CalPERS and the banks. We also have a couple of other personnel things going on.
The Liebert, Cassidy, Whitmore?
Well, I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay,
but
I'm sorry.
On personnel, we also have the recruitment for the lab tech. And what we're doing is we're doing that in-house, and we're having it overviewed by Deborah, who has been our kind of the person that handles individual concerns of employees at the district. And then we've got the other one, of course, which is the district administrator. So there are a number of consultants in that field which are being billed on this. The Liebert Cassidy invoice, our Director Hill is absolutely correct. It includes that $700 that $700+ that have been before you twice and denied, but the other invoices have not previously been presented to us, and we have run them through legal, who have looked at them and found them to be properly invoiced and served. So that's all I can say on that particular one.
How old are these invoices? Are from back?
They're way back in date. It was within all of that time when the investigations were going on.
So legal counsel, if we voted to not pay the $750,
that's correct. Twice.
So then, if that's included in here, we would need to bring that back separate. I would think.
If you would like me to remove that from, you've told me twice already, but if you approve the others without that one, then that would be the direction I would take, Madam Chair.
Since we've already voted no, I would think we need to, maybe we should bring that one back.
Then say that again.
We can go ahead. I would be willing to look at these, but take that $750 out of this.
I understand.
Since we've already.
I believe I understand. That. So if you do get a vote to approve these invoices, it would be depending on the motion maker,
right.
Without the $750 one.
Okay. And let's see. Faye Russo's on our agenda here. The one, you had the question about the human resources for $420.
Well, I think that was included in the explanation we got here.
All right. So is everybody good with the explanation on the warrants then?
Yeah. I understand the explanation, yes.
Okay. So I just wonder, we should do the public, maybe do the public comments separately on these, because it's going to get confusing when people are commenting back. So why don't we go ahead and do some public comment on the warrants then.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I too have some heartburn over the Liebert Cassidy Whitmore warrants. Certainly the idea that you've tried, I feel like, and I don't want to criticize your staff. I'm just saying, when your board rejects something twice, to sneak it in with five other invoices is just dirty pool. You don't do that. The board has rejected that invoice. I think you need a better explanation about the five other invoices and what they were for. I actually have seen where contractors hold on to their invoices and wait for a new tax year because it benefits them personally how they receive their pay from year to year. And I think, you know, maybe that's what they're doing. But to sit on invoices when you've already spent this money. You didn't know this was coming. You were told that the $750 was the last one, and you put your foot down and said you weren't going to pay that. So I think you put your foot down on the whole thing and don't pay any of it. They don't have the right to just bill you 4, 5, 6 months later. That's wrong. And you never authorized these expenditures. You didn't know that these things were spiraling out of control. Nobody brought them back to you. And most of all, it was the previous administrator. My question associated with the LARA contract and the expense there, the question was asked by Mayor Hill, and I hope he got his answer. What has the total cost of the policies and procedures been brought to date? Can we get that number? And then the last one I wanted to talk about was the Faye Russo 2881, warrant number 2881.
Can you wrap it up? It's 3 minutes.
Yeah, this one you should not approve until you do something about the contract, item 5E. So you've got one ahead of the other, and you really can't approve this as part of the warrant packet until you address the contract that's item 5E on your agenda later on.
Any other public comment?
It's just on warrants, correct?
Yes. Okay, seeing none, bring it back. So do we...
You know, you're starting to get a history on not paying certain invoices, and it's not looking consistent. You know, when you make an arrangement and go into a contract with somebody, they expect to be paid. Okay, and by just, you know, inflating some story about the vendor and then tabling their invoices, you know, is starting to become a habit here. And no, I don't like spending a lot of money on legal, but I also don't like going back 10 years and trying to sue somebody either. You know, I mean, you have to pay your bills. You know, nobody in their right mind expected that report to be $7,500. That was naive to think that that much work, that much energy was going to go into a project for $750, you know, $1,000. I mean, it just wasn't going to happen. So if people thought that they were going to get all that for $750, they're wrong. Pay the bills. As a ratepayer, I'm asking you to pay the bills.
As a ratepayer, I'm appalled at the bill. It was a contract. It was for $15,000. South Sam was going to pay half of it. City of Arroyo Grande was going to pay half of it. I don't know what it's gone to, but it's up in the $60,000, $70,000, maybe $80,000 now. A contract is a contract. Their contract was for $15,000. I have no problem disputing the costs. A contract is a contract. And I've never heard anything about it going over $15,000 until it came before the boards for like $60,000. So let's be fair about that. We're paying way too much for a botched investigation.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Well, the Liebert-Cassidy bill could have been lower if Ms. Tacker hadn't had the 3,800 pages redacted. There's no way to prove what exactly that cost, but if an attorney has to look at 3,800 pages, read each page, and then line out what needs to be removed, that is going to take time. That cost us, the ratepayers, a lot of money.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back. And so on the Liebert-Cassidy Whitmore Legal Counsel, if you could explain what would happen if we did not pay the bill, if we decided.
All right. What? Thank you, Madam Chair. And all these bills that are sent are reviewed by staff, and we review them to make sure they're accurate and they're reasonable. Once we determine that they are reasonable and I have no questions or staff has no questions, they then go on the warrant register. We have a contract with Liber Caspi. They've done work for the district, and we are obligated to pay them. There's discussion of a bill of $700 that has been rejected twice. I recall it a little differently. I understand that it was pulled and no action was taken on it, but I do not recall that it was the board actually voted to reject that bill. If that is the board's intention or direction, you would have to tell me why that bill is being rejected so that I could communicate that back to Liebert Caspi, because they will ask me why this bill isn't being paid.
Because I wasn't here during that time, so I recall one time saying that we'd table it, but I don't remember. Do you remember we actually voted to not pay that bill? Because I don't.
That was my recollection, but we might want to check the minutes of the prior meetings.
Well, for that amount of money, I think we need to clear this up and be done with them. I think it's drug on long enough. I think we need to pay our bills.
And Madam Chair, if I may add, these are not new expenses that were incurred within the past few months. These are older invoices that for one reason or another were never presented to us so that we could timely present them to the board.
All right, thank you. Okay.
It may be that the reason they weren't timely presented is the totality of it would have been appalling to the board and the public. So with that, I'll move that we approve the warrants as presented with the exception of 2881 to Fay Russo, Enrolled Agent Tax and Accounting, and Liebert Cassidy Whitmore.
There's been a motion. Is there a second? Seeing no second, the motion dies. Can we have another motion? Is anyone prepared?
I move that the warrants be accepted. With the explanation that we've gotten on the validity of the bills, the Russo bill is going to be taken under consideration later in the meeting. So I move that we accept this as proposed.
Awards. Okay, I'll second that. Can we get a roll call, please?
Yes. Board Chair Austin?
Yes.
Vice Chair Nichols?
Yes.
Director Hill?
No.
Okay, the minutes of March 21st.
I have no comments on the minutes other than that there's references later on in our staff reports that refer to the minutes, and the minutes at this point are so skeletonized that it's difficult to determine what commenters said or whether they were in favor or opposed to an item. So it seems to me that we've probably swung the pendulum a little too far in removing material from the minutes. And the comment was made that people can always go back and look at the tape, but I think that that's challenging for staff when they have to sit and listen to a tape because the information they're seeking is not in the minutes.
Okay. We have public comment on the minutes. Did you have any?
Well, I was just going to say that perhaps just a negative or positive be added along with commented on negatively or positively.
Or in support of, in opposition of. In support of, in opposition of.
Probably
not negative or. Right?
I make a note of that.
I'm still not sure what you're saying.
I'll make that part of my comment.
Thank you.
If you are going to amend the minutes to suggest that the commenter was in support of or in opposition of the item or the action that the board was taking, my suggested language.
I believe that's exactly what I was said.
I think you said negative versus positive. Right. So it's just semantics.
Semantics.
Semantics, correct. So my comment is that the minutes do lack specificity, and there has been reference to going back to the tapes. And 2 weeks ago, your meeting was taped by AGP Video, and there are several minutes missing. There are gaps in the audio tape. When AGP Video was contacted, they looked into it, and they found that it is a technical problem that they cannot resolve. So I think the minutes, I think that the district should maybe have something back up. I've seen this in other agencies where there's a small $30 digital tape recorder that's also taping the meeting so that they can go back should there be a failure with the video feed. So that would be my recommendation. It's a small price to pay. But what is concerning is because these minutes are so sparse, those gaps in the tape are not reflected, and it's impossible to know what those people said. Mayor Hill, several minutes of some of what he was talking about are not there, and I believe some comments from Chris Victorine are not on the tape. So again, because the minutes are sparse, we can't reflect on what was said.
Anyone else have a comment on the minutes? Okay, can I get a motion?
Accept the minutes as presented.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it, given that the expectation, I think, is that the minutes be expanded a little bit the next time.
Support or non-support?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, the minutes. Okay, we'll take C and D together, the redundancy project. Change order 5 and 6.
On change order 5, which is item 5C, the comment is made at the end of the, well, actually it's on page 1 of the staff report. It says the very bottom of the page, 5C page 1, it says after considering Tech Memo 7, the board chose to pursue the trickling filter secondary clarifier option. That's what we have now. That's not the proposal for the redundancy project, so I'm confused about that.
Okay.
So
Mr.
I'm,
Karp, is there any, can you answer his question on?
Yeah, Mr. Hills is correct in that the redundancy is going to,
The redundancy is going to include some activated sludge additional treatment process, but the question was whether that biomembrane was going to be going into it, and the secondary treatment is going to remain as is with the additional redundancy of the activated sludge component rather than the one that was proposed, and that was discussed in Tech Memo 7. I didn't bring Tech Memo 7 with me to read that back to you. I apologize, Director Hill, but the term was designated in those acronyms, and I just blew out the name as, you know, they said the TFSC. That's what those stand for. I apologize that that's creating some confusion, and I didn't bring that document with me. But we are maintaining the activated sludge, and that is part of it. It was that biomembrane that's been discarded, sir.
Okay, thank you for the clarification on that. And then the scope change budget augmentation request talks about escalation due to the extended schedule. I understand that. The delays to the schedule have been very frustrating, and increased project management efforts. I'm not certain that I see that in that there's been a delay due to the extended schedule, but
well, if I may, I would like to try and address that for you, Director, if
go ahead,
Madam Chair. The project was delayed so that we could do that coastal permit, and the coastal permit was the reason that they stopped work on the plans at that time. The actual stop period was 19 and a half months, and we incurred extra costs because of the, not only that, but there was an additional request having to do with the recycled water and the follow-up EIR stuff on that. And the total delay was 19 and a half months. They have extrapolated out the costs based on a 16-month delay because we don't feel we've lost all of that much in our management process. But in that period of time, there have been inflation costs due to the labor and benefit costs of the people doing the job and other related overhead, sir. But they did just extrapolate based on 16 months rather than the year, the 19 and a half months.
Wonderful, thank you.
Okay, and I guess that's, I can understand that through the issuance of the coastal development permit, which I believe was in early July, if my memory serves. And apparently the notice was not given to proceed until November, so possibly we can discuss that.
Well, the reasoning on that, sir, not to be interrupting, was that they curtailed the project until completion of Tech Memo 7. Tech Memo 7 was prerequisite to making the decision to restart and begin the project, so we wouldn't have to throw away any plans on a false start basis, sir.
Okay. And then on item 6, I'm just noting that the district's capacity to self-perform the potholing work has changed. And again, I note apparently we have four operators essentially running the plant, so I would have to concur that the district's capacity to self-perform has changed. So in anticipation of public comment, I will.
Okay. Okay, we'll open it up now for public comment on items 5C and 5D, the redundancy project change request.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I hope that your board has seen the tech memo related to the flood mitigation. I have, and this number, $90,890, is lower than what I recall, but I didn't bring it with me. I would ask that you look at those tech memos as they come in. It seems to me that you would want the mail when things come into the district that affect the not only the district at large, but certainly the redundancy project. You should be getting those as they come in, the environmental documents and the tech memos, so that you could follow along. And the tech memo regarding flood mitigation, you know, as long as you armor that plant, you are actually protecting the neighborhood and the properties around it from a potential spill. And that's a benefit to the neighborhood. So that's a good thing. But it comes at a cost, and you need to know what that is. The other, looking at the two numbers, your increases here, $55,000 on the first contract, $130,820 on the second contract, a total of $185,820. My question there is, has Bartle Wells been brought up to speed, and that these cost increase will be reflected in your new rate study and funding scenario? So that's my question.
Okay, thank
there.
You. Anyone else? Okay, seeing none, you want to bring it back and get your questions answered, Jim?
Yes, I did, Madam Chair. So I would move that we approve item 5C, the redundancy project, Kennedy-Jenks project change request 5, and similarly, item 5D, Kennedy-Jenks project change request number 6, with the additional request for staff to contact Bartle Wells and inform them of these changes.
Second.
Okay, all in favor? Let's do a roll call.
Board Chair Austin?
Yes.
Vice Chair Nichols?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Okay. Carries 3-0. Let's move on. Whoops. That's my agenda. Let's move on to item 5E.
Madam Chair, I have numbers of issues with this. The staff report, background and discussion in the center of the page, says that current administration requests that additional services from the consultant to facilitate a transition period that began when the district bookkeeper secretary was reinstated after an extended absence resulting from paid administrative leave ordered by the previous district administrator. That's very difficult for me to comprehend. The district's bookkeeper secretary for years provided all of these services within the regular scope of their duties. And not only that, but we got monthly financials and documents that we could confirm with the county auditor, and others that our finances were in order. That's been sadly lacking over the last several months. And I don't see the need for that at all. It says management expects that the need for this effort will expire with the term of the agreement. I don't really understand that either. It would seem to me that that need never existed in the first place. And in terms of validating the existing agreement was an overstep of the prior district administrator's authority, and while the contract was entered into by the board, and I don't question that at this point, what I do question is the $25,000 limit and why a $25,000 not to exceed was very much exceeded by a contractor who is in the financial services business. So I really see no way to validate this contract beyond the $25,000 limit that's already been imposed. And in terms of providing other direction to staff, I would urge returning the bookkeeper secretary to full status, and hopefully we can get our financial house in order, because it's certainly in disarray at this point. I would also note, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, this is the district informally selected accounting and bookkeeping services. I don't know whether it was, but this certainly smacks of a Bucks for Buddies deal. I don't see governmental sourcing protocols followed in this at all. I don't get it. Why is our audit 2.5 years behind? Again, purchasing services less than $25,000. They want us to agree that the recitals are true. The above recitals are not true, so I don't see how we can support that this evening.
We're talking about a different issue there. It sounds to me like you're talking about a different issue than the district agreement with the Russo.
That's precisely what I'm talking about.
What has she to do with the audit? Which is from a by a different company.
Well, once again, preparation of the district's financial reports and statements is the responsibility of the district. The auditor's responsibility is to provide an independent judgment of the validity of that. So apparently we've not been able to get our information in order, and the question was asked by a commenter earlier this evening, without any financial reports, how do you know you can afford to pay this? That's a good question.
Well, I think that this whole, I read this, I talked with Mr. Karp about this, and I think this whole discussion here explains the whole situation, and it goes into personnel, and we don't discuss that, and I just, excuse me. So this woman has done this work, and we're, you know, we have to pay her. Her contract will end at the end of May, and by that time it says right here, management expects that the need for this effort will expire with the term of the agreement not expected to be significant during the last few weeks. You know, we're not in there every day the work that comes before the staff, and I trust their judgment and what was done here, and I'm in favor of paying her and working through this till she gets through and move on. It explains it right here.
The director's information that Exhibit A includes assist with annual audit preparation.
And we'll be we have that the status update on the audit, and I don't know if you have anything to add to that other than, you know, the audit. I believe
it's a little later on the agenda, and we can do it now or we can do it later.
Right now. It doesn't.
In my opinion, the continuation after the $25,000 was reached, she was obviously still engaged at that point and by approval of the staff to continue this until the job is done.
Was the staff authorized to do that?
I don't know.
I think the staff...
According to... These kinds of decisions are difficult for me, not having been here when it happened. So I'm relying strictly on what I'm reading in front of me. And it seems to me like it's a reasonable expectation to finish a job within the time frame, and the time frame is not yet up. If the hours it required are a little more than everything was expected to be, that's what happens when you get into an audit situation
the floor up here.
With due respect to the director, that's not supposed to be the way things happen. When contracts near their ceiling limit, they should be brought back to the board for additional approval rather than to just move ahead with another $10,000 of expenditures on a contract that's not through the fault of the contractor, but through the fault of the prior administrator, or iffy at best.
Okay, so what are you saying to do then? Don't pay her that for work she's done? That no, we have a warrant for her. We've already agreed to pay it. Mm-hmm. We're going to finish this job. All this constant, you know, trying to find fault. You think you'll find in a lot of agencies like this when you do this bookkeeping type of things, you are going to run over and things.
Absolutely. What,
the things that were happening at the plant at the time with the switching of all the staff, and, you know, I think this stuff happens. And it's nothing you can, you know, you can sit and beat it to death, but I mean, this is the way it is. If we're going to move forward, we need to just do this and move forward. So is there any public comment on this item?
Colleen Kubel, I just have a couple of comments on it. I think we have a problem with this discussion, favor versus contract. I just want to bring up a couple of those. I didn't see any provisions of review or evaluation of the work in the contract. From any administrator's look at any contract given out, there's always a representative to see that the work is completed sufficiently and satisfies the contract. Who from the district did that, and did we get our money's worth? Who did that? That's a question I would like to answer if it was at the past administration. There are so many errors from that past administration that this board at this time is being put forward and having to deal with. And so these are just questions that should be able to be answered. And even a janitor gets evaluated and before they get paid. And so did we receive the fiscal services contracted for? Was it documented? Is it documented so that anybody from personnel or anybody else, you or whoever else wants to go in and see it, is it documented to verify that the work was specified in the contract was actually completed? The regional contract stated that Feruso would assist with quarterly and end-of-the-year reconciliations and report preparations. Quarterly reconciliations have not been timely, and the board has not been provided any meaningful reports. So how could her work be up to par with the contract if none of those reports are coming? We all know the problems, but how could her contract, the work that she's provided, be sufficient to meet the contract if those things aren't provided, which is in the contract? And so those things needs to be really looked at, because you can talk all you want about what's in the contract, and yes, she did things and everything else, but did she meet those qualifications, and is it documented? That's the most important part. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about. In her contract, Exhibit A says that she'll provide these things. Assist with quarterly and end-of-year reconciliations and report preparation. Assist in cash reconciliations. I think we've been asking for those for months. I know Director Hill has been asking for them for months. They have not been brought forward. Create financial spreadsheets as needed. I'm not aware that we've been having financial spreadsheets. And again, assist with annual audit preparation. She's not doing a good job of that, because the auditor does not have what he needs to do the audit. As far as I can see, she has not fulfilled her contract. And I'm, as a ratepayer, getting a little tired of having contracts signed and then being exceeded the amount that is supposed to be spent, exceeded and never brought before the board. Now, this one, the contract wasn't even brought before the board. $25,000, I mean, that's in our bylaws. It's supposed to be brought forward and passed by the board. Public should know what's going on here. You know, it's very disappointing to see this board continually okaying more money going out when people have not fulfilled their contracts.
Thank you.
I'm
sorry?
Do we get two?
Do
you have public comment?
Yeah. She said something. I didn't hear what it was. Julie Tacker, and the contract never did go before the board, and just to correct Mayor Hill, this was entered into solely between Mr. Huebner and Fay Russo. There was no competition for the contract. She came highly recommended. You have a puzzled look on your face, Barbara. I'm telling you the absolute truth.
Direct your to the chair. Talk to the
board. If anybody's confused, this contract never came before the board. This contract was not competitively bid. Your staff is asking you to validate this contract. This contract is crap. This is not a good contract. You need a new contract. You need a contract that covers the work that she did. And while it may or may not be up to your specifications, that's your job, is to see whether or not she met the test with the work she's done. She's billing $95 an hour. I can guarantee you there are accountants out there that will work for about half of that, that will do a fine job. You aren't even seeing her work product, so you should be questioning that. I provided a letter to your board on March 26th. With it, I included the resolution 2016-353. That resolution is your expenditure control guidelines, and the district administrator misinterpreted his authority. He only has $7,500 spending authority. Anything above that should have come to the board. He messed up. And so you can't really validate a mistake. You need to write a new contract, recognize the mistake, amend the amount of money, and we're already at $9,335 over the $25,000 that he thought he had the ability to approve. He did not. I just wanted to ask you to just write a new contract, because you can't validate something that's invalid. This contract is a mess, and it's up to you to judge the quality of work. How you've seen the quality of work certainly hasn't come to the board or the public, so I don't know how you judge that, but go ahead and try.
Mary Lucia, you know, it always amazes me how people bicker over $10,000, but they'll let $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 just fly right out the door. You know, in the contract, it doesn't speak to the quality of one's work. It speaks to fulfilling a temporary position. It's temporary. The administrator does have the authority to hire temp employees for temp positions. Okay, I ask that you not rewrite, waste time and rewrite a contract. Change orders go in all the time on contracts. Attach the change order to the existing contract and wind it down. The auditor, and I'm sure we're going to hear about the audits very quickly, could have not got to the place that they're at without her assistance. So please, I'm just asking you to attach an addendum to the existing contract and pay the invoice, and let's move on.
Thank you. Okay. Any other discussion on the Fay Russo?
Well, with due respect to the commenter, that the auditor couldn't have gotten to the point that they are without assistance from this contractor. To the contrary, in years past, we got the audits done on time. With our in-house staff, so I don't find the commenter's comment to be comporting with the facts. And also where it says district needs specialized professional accounting and bookkeeping services, currently does not have sufficient in-house staff to provide these services. Again, I can't find that that's factual. So I cannot support this. One way around the impasse might be to bring an amendment or something. I don't know. That was one suggestion that was made. But to validate this is, in my view, beyond our ability to act consistently with government code requirements and the facts at hand.
Thank you.
I have one question, and that is she assisting with the audit for the years 15-16? And if so, she would have a very large job of going through records that she had no part of keeping and putting them together in assistance. If we're talking about the audit that's going to apparently begin when this one is finished, she has nothing to do with that. So I'm a little bit lost as to, and I'm also a little bit lost to take responsibility for reviewing the work of contract employees, temporary. We're not trained bookkeepers. We're not trained plant workers. How can we audit the work or evaluate the work? As long as things balance, as long as we're not in any financial trouble with the government, we take what we have.
Thank you. It seems very simple to me that this contract is expiring at the end, May 16th, 2018. This is right around the corner. She's finishing up some things. Let's finish them up, get it done, and it explains it right here, what's happening. And I'm not going to question our technical consultants on, they're the ones that are doing the work with it. I mean, we're not going to sit here and rewrite things, make new contracts, and thank you. So I'm ready to move ahead with this. Did you have any comment, Mr. Karp, on this?
I have nothing to add.
So does anyone want to make a motion?
My motion would be that we accept the billing that's been charged to us. We allow her to finish her contract. As far as validating the agreement, I don't understand what exactly they mean. Yes, it's all okay. No, it's not all okay, but there's nothing we can do to fix it in the middle of it.
Okay, I'll second it. Can we get a roll call, please?
Yes, Board Chair Austin.
Here, yes.
Vice Chair Nichols.
Yes.
Director Hill.
Emphatically no.
Okay, let's go on to our next item, which is the status update on the audits. Could we get a staff report, please?
Yes, Director Hill asked us to get the most current communications from our auditor. I think he picked up some data yesterday or the day before, and then he had asked that we bring to tonight's meeting the last couple of days. That includes an email from our auditor, Glenn Burdett, who has uh,
indicated that they are satisfied with the answers to the questions that had been outlined, and we've given you a copy of the questions, a copy of the response, and I'll pass those out right now. Okay, you have before you a memorandum from the technical consultants regarding the items that are left on the audit to be done, and Burdett has listed some deadlines that they have identified. The first two are completed. That is number bullet point number one, and it says, Glenn Burdett generated questions due to the district after completion of the board minute review. And then it says, on the 2nd of April, responses from the district are due back to Glenn Burdett. Those responses are what I gave you a copy of this evening. And I also included the questions that were the 328 questions. And then the response from Glenn Burdett saying that they consider that those first two bullet points to be addressed, and they're moving on to the third bullet point. And this is the status of your audit as they stand today. They're looking for presenting the audit in May, and I promised those things to you before, and I hope that it transpires the way that's been predicted by our auditor. So I have nothing else to add.
Okay. What did you have to say?
I'm still looking at the questions, okay. But I don't know what to say about this. I've characterized the job that's been performed as being bungled, and we've been promised yet again that this will come by some date certain that always seems to be missed. And the county auditor controller has brought this to the attention of the board and the district. And I've asked that we consider on the agenda asking for assistance from the auditor controller's office, because I have no reason to believe these promises are anything more than what we've had up to date.
Do you have anything to add?
No, I don't.
Okay, I'll open it for public comment on the status of the financial audits.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and as I recall, just before Amy was put on leave, the reports going toward that audit were that she had nearly completed compiling the materials to send to them. So we're talking over a year ago. They were ready to go. So Ms. Russo's role should have been minimal, and now that Amy's back, this should have been a quick fix, I would think. The I'm curious how Ms. Nichols said that we're not in trouble with the government.
I said if.
If. Well, okay. You are in trouble with the government. Your district got a letter from Jim Erb, that's the county auditor, asking, where's your audit? And he offered, by state statute, he has the authority to perform that audit at your cost. And he has had a series of communications with your district where phone calls weren't returned, emails weren't returned, and only recently was able to communicate with the auditor and your staff. So you are in trouble with the government in that you don't have this audit complete and it's very overdue. So I just find that remarkable that it's still so far out, maybe May 16th, which would sunset the Russo contract, that's the same date. They may be here to present the financial statements and the findings. I look forward to it.
Any other public comment?
Well, my question would be is that if Julie Tacker and the group in the back hadn't contacted the auditor and contacted everybody, would the audit have been here a little bit more timely based on question one and based on question two? And I'd also like to make a clarification on Mr. Hill stating that I hadn't stated the facts, is that the first interim director that we had over at the Sand District hired an administrative company to do memos, to put board packets together, to put all the pieces together for the board, you know, and even write the board memos. So he had hired an administrative company up in the Bay Area to do all those things for him, so things were a little bit more timely. But I want to know how quickly the audit could have been done if all this time hadn't been spent on question one and two. See, here we go back to, you know, the group that just
Madam
is
infatuated
with the sanitation district.
I'm concerned about the relevance of
I'm
this
sorry.
Comment.
I'm sorry. Public comment is public comment. You don't comment till afterwards. You don't ever
interrupt. So now we get to interrupt me?
Yeah. No, go ahead, Ms. Lucy.
You know, my question is how much more timely would the audits have been had the auditor not been bugged to death on question one and question two by Julie Tacky and the rest of her crew? I mean, there's many things you can do to entertain yourselves. Destroying a sewer plant isn't something that, you know, should consume your life, you know? And so it, once again, it's costly, you know? Who watches over our money? I'll bet money that the lawyer's watching it very closely and questioning every single invoice. I don't need to ask that question. You know, so how much quicker could this audit have occurred without having a hired administrative company from the north and without question one and question two with the badgering and this falsifying the loss of $800,000? And you know, it's so costly.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, do you have a comment?
Well, again, I'm concerned about the relevance of the previous comment, but I've not seen invoices from companies to the north unnamed and other phantom accusations.
Thank you. So, Mr. Carb, we'll look forward to Glenn Burdett will be here on the 16th to present the findings.
That's our hope.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for this report. And we'll move on. Did I get rid of my agenda?
Might I ask a follow-up question? Is there
sure.
a plan B?
For the audit?
In other words, on the 16th, we all hope Glenn Burdett will be here on the 16th. Is there something we can do looking forward to that? Because these dates have been missed repeatedly.
I think my responsibility, Madam Chair, if I can just butt in for
yes,
you
please.
Here. Our responsibility is to make those deadlines, Director Hill, and that's my job. I need to see that that's being done. I can assure you that Amy has been working with me for a period of 6 months now, and she has responded to each and every request from Glenn Burdett appropriately. I expect she will meet every one of these deadlines. We are very much interested in that audit, as much as the public, as much as you are. And we hope that they will deliver. We will deliver, sir.
Okay.
I share that hope.
All right. Thank you. So now we can move on to item 6A, the Technical Consultants and Plant Operations Report.
I heard a comment earlier tonight about the water quality reports, and I just want to draw the attention that we are doing the monthly reports, and maybe it's the way we're putting them attached to the consultant's report, and I apologize to the public if I haven't made it clear, but the water quality reports should be the same reports that we've been giving, and if you have trouble finding them, maybe you can give me a call or we can work that out with the public as far as its accessibility. But we have the reports for you today, and I think they're self-explanatory. We had a fecal violation during the rain. It's very strange that that would occur during the rain, because at the same time we had a positive chlorine, which is supposed to knock fecal out. However, all the follow-up tests and everything else indicate everything's okay. I expect we'll get fined for that probably 3 years from now, just kind of like on the same schedule that our previous three violations had come in. You may recall we just paid $9,000 for three individual minimum fines for occurrences back three years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago. So I apologize for that. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Do you have any questions on the report, Jim?
For some time, I've asked periodically about an inflow and infiltration study. And I note that the situation has apparently gotten so bad that it's now causing this district to violate our discharge permits. And at this point, that's just a comment, but I would hope that this board will take up and the technical staff will provide us with an I&I study that would hopefully allow the root cause of this issue so that we don't violate our discharge requirements in the future. I think the public health demands nothing less.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Father, any comments on the report?
No, I don't. No questions.
All right. Thank you very much. Public comment, excuse me. Public comment, please.
Julie Tacker and the last inflow and infiltration report done by the Wallace Group in 2011 is on your website. If you're new to the board or haven't seen that, go right to the documents page and you can find it. Most of the infiltration does come from high groundwater or stormwater, primarily in collection systems that aren't up to snuff. I did have a question that I've asked it before. I'm not getting an answer, and I hope I can. It's related to the brine disposal program, and the Cambria Community Services District application. It says that additional items have been requested by staff to make the application complete. I'd like to know what those questions were. What did you ask for? And when last meeting, you had some correspondence that Mr. Karp referred to, but he didn't provide to you. I got that from him. Thank you very much. They were emails and a phone message from citizens of Cambria encouraging you to approve the brine disposal contract. It's not been to your board. They had been under the impression that it had been to your board and approved, and that there was some other hold up, and now that it's in legal's hands, maybe you could verify that or explain what the status of that permit is. The reason I'm concerned about it is it's like 22,000 gallons a day. It would be about five or six trucks coming into Oceano a day to do that discharge. I think it would be seasonal, because they're not going to run their plant all the time. But, you know, what are those impacts? And it kind of goes to what Mr. Snook was saying about having a CEQA analysis to the brine trucks coming in the back gate through the wetlands to the plant. Those cumulative effects affect the environment, and Cambria is going to have a significant impact, or could have a significant impact on the neighborhood, on the plant, to the environment, and those impacts have not been analyzed. And I think that's what he's asking for, is a coastal development permit that would analyze it through the CEQA process.
Anyone else?
Okay.
Patricia Price, about the brine, I'm not sure that I understood if we have a procedures manual ready or if it's in the workings. It seems like we would need to have that before we could okay brine coming in. And I was wondering, how many operators do we actually have working out at the plant? Because I was looking through some old papers, and it seems that we should have 8 operators. And I'm counting like 4. So if you could let me know what is going on as far as operations go, and then hearing about the potential fine. Is this the same fine we might get that we heard about a couple of meetings ago, or is this a second fine that might be coming up? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, seeing none. I'm going to, if it's okay, I'd like to call like a 5-minute recess. I need to get a drink. I'd like to call the meeting back to order, please. Okay, our next item is the personnel policy manual update, so we'll spend a little time on this.
Madam Chair, I note that we have a representative from Jones and Mayer in the audience who's been very patient with us today, and may we want to consider item 6C in advance of 6B, although certainly he may wish to stick with us for 6B.
I have no problem changing that over. Barbara, are you okay?
Doing what?
Doing 6C, approval of the legal services contract with the law firm of Jones and Mayer.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
A representative here is in the audience. So, yeah, we can go ahead and do that. So I'll ask legal counsel if you'll introduce this item, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You have before you an approval of a legal services contract with the law firm of Jones and Mayer. As you know, Wendy Stockton has resigned her position with the district. We had a proposal Wendy and I did where we acted as a team in providing legal services to the district. With her departure, in order to keep the services, in order to continue the services, I am recommending that we retain the law firm of Jones and Mayer. They are a full-service law firm. They have an excellent reputation. They have just opened up a Central Coast office. The proposal for general counsel or special counsel services is $185 an hour, which is the same amount that Wendy Stockton's contract provided for. And in the audience, we have Mr. Keith Collins. He is a representative from Jones and Mayer, and he's available here to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, did you have any questions?
I note that in the staff report, one of the recommendations is that we might wish to...
Microphone, Tim.
I'm sorry, I noted in the staff report that one of the recommendations is we might wish to issue requests for proposals for legal services. And while I would be in favor of that, I did review the material from Jones and Mayer, and it was, I was impressed with it. And in the interest of providing backup and associate services, certainly in the meantime, until we can get proposals, that may be a expeditious solution to the issue.
Yeah, I agree. Barbara, did you have any?
I have no questions. I'm rather impressed with the agreement. And yeah. Thank
you. So, did you want to come up and say anything or introduce yourself? Or?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to thank the board for its consideration of our firm. As Mr. Trujillo mentioned, we did just open up an office in Santa Maria. We are serving a special counsel to the city of Santa Maria, and we have a wealth of knowledge. Our attorneys are experienced in pretty much anything that local governments face. And so we're prepared to work with your general counsel to provide him the support that he needs.
Wonderful. Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you. Okay, well, if we don't, public comment. Is there any public comment on this item?
Julie Tacker, and I don't like when anybody sole sources. And I think this firm is very qualified. I appreciate that they're here. And similar to Mr. Hill's comment, I think until maybe they bid for the job against other competition, they could serve as backup counsel. But I think even Mr. Trujillo needs to bid for the job, and you go out for legal services, request for proposals, and get a new firm, whatever firm that is. Maybe it's Mr. Trujillo again with the partnership of this firm. Whatever they propose, maybe nothing may change. But I think as the fiduciaries of this district, you need to do your due diligence and get the biggest bang for your buck. You are going to have a new administrator. You are going to have a new plant superintendent. Maybe you just clean house and you have new counsel too. The timing seems to be working out that way. So just wanted to put those thoughts on the table, and you do with them what you like.
Any other comment? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back. Without any more comment, is anyone ready to make a motion on this item?
Madam Chair, I think the recommendation and the options that are presented to staff provide present us with a good option that we pursue a request for proposals for general counsel, and in the interim to retain legal counsel from the firm of Jones and Meyer to replace Ms. Stockton.
Thanks.
In the interim.
So that's
my motion.
Okay. Does I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Can we have a roll call on the item, please?
Yes. Board Chair Austin?
Yes.
Vice Chair Nichols?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Okay, with that follow-up, Gil and I will take appropriate action to execute with you, with this firm, that particular thing. I brought the contracts
Great.
With me.
Thank you.
So that concludes number 7, Madam Chair. So are we back to...
That was 6C,
and now we're going to go back...
Back to 6B.
Okay, thank you.
6B is the personnel policy manual. We're starting on page 5,000.
If I can bring something to your attention, I had the opportunity to speak about district versus divisions with our consultant since the last meeting, and she reminded me that those terms, district, if there was just one level of employee, that would be appropriate. But with the non-represented employees, basically your bookkeeper, secretary, and your superintendent, maintenance man, you have actually two divisions.
You're talking about departments, right?
And that's okay. Departments, divisions. They are treated differently, and that's the reasoning. That was placed in the form as it stands. So I just did follow up on that, and I just want to get that to you.
Okay, thank you. So we're going to start. Everybody ready? You ready, Jim?
Yes. Could we maybe add a definition in there someplace to clarify that?
Add it to our definition book?
Mary, could you make
a way
note?
To avoid confusion.
Thank you.
Make a note. Okay, Mary, are you there? Okay. So on the 5,000, I didn't see anything on that first page, unauthorized voluntary absence. Over here on policy statement, there's just a word which do not affecting wages. It should say just affect, I would think.
What line, Madam Chair?
It's 510, policy statement number 2, third line down. It's just a word correction. Just take the ing off effect. Affecting should just be effect.
Okay, my copy shows that as the
proposed.
It
says effect?
That's the proposal. There's a line through on the ing.
Okay,
did you get a bad copy?
I must have. Well, I got this. This was probably one of the first ones.
I apologize.
Okay.
It is a strike.
It's already been corrected. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So what about on the grievance procedure steps number 3 on A? Is yours crossed out with grievance put in?
Problem is crossed out. Grievance is inserted.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is the one. Okay. Anything else on those? Looks like
The only question I had was on, and it's a philosophical question rather than a technical question with the document. On the 5,000 page one, the paragraph A, kind of in the middle of the text there, last sentence is, the district administrator shall make the final determination with no further right of appeal. There are cases where the administrator may be conflicted on that, I would think. Is there the intent that there be no right of appeal to the board?
I don't even have that.
That's the way it's written, sir, and I would interpret it that way. But then again, that's why we have a grievance procedure, and if you're aggrieved, it isn't necessarily an appeal, sir.
Okay, does he want to move on to the...
Yes.
What page are you on now that you want to... I see you have a little box on.
Just some grammatical clarification on 5010-2, and this is about two-thirds of the way down the page. Paragraph starts, if the district administrator does not respond. The next line says, time limits for requesting mediation shall begin the fifth day following transmission by the district administrator's written decision. Does that mean transmission of the district administrator's written decision? What is being transmitted? And I'm not sure this is clear.
Yes, I would, that's correct. I would delete by and substitute of.
Okay.
Did you get that, Mary? Okay.
Following. Okay, then in just a question again of the mechanics of this. So
again, where are you, Jim?
This is on the same line of just how this would work. So we have time limits for requesting mediation begin the fifth day following transmission of the district administrator's written decision. And transmission might be putting it in the mail with a postage prepaid. So is that adequate such that the person receiving the notification would be timely advised? In other words, on transmission vice receipt, I don't know how you monitor receipt in this case. That's what we're changing. It used to say receipt.
Correct.
And we're changing that to transmission.
Yes, transmission. So essentially it'd be what we call the mailbox rule. When you deposit something in the mail, it's presumed received unless there's evidence to the contrary. So upon transmission of the district administrator's written decision, basically is the same as the mailbox rule.
And then it says time limits for requesting mediation shall begin the fifth day, and the fifth is underlined there. So I presume that's a change. What was it previously?
I do not have that on my copy.
Director, I believe that was all tied into, you may recall it was receipt, right?
Yes.
So there was a much shorter period of time. Perhaps it was a third day or something like that. So when you changed receipt to transmission, they had to expand it out to at least the fifth day. I'm guessing it was less than five, but five seems to be an adequate in practice.
Right. Okay.
Ready for the next? Okay, so now we're on page 510. 510, page 3. Is there anything on here that anybody wants to?
I have nothing.
My question is, why are we deleting paragraph D?
D, E here, level four, that one?
Well,
D, E, level four, board of directors?
Yeah, we have level four, advisory mediation, final decision. Then the potential for appeal to the board of directors appears to be, have taken out. And my question is, why is that?
It does say it's a, the decision shall be final. Am I missing something there?
No, I don't think so. I think that's exactly what it says.
Well, it was, I don't know if that's a question we can just ask at Laura Services, maybe just ask them to give an answer as to why that, that whole paragraph was taken out.
Yes, I can follow up with Laura, HR Services, who prepared this this draft, although I can venture to say that the way the she has structured the entire appeal procedure, she is purposely taking it out of the board of directors' hands so that you do not have matters coming before you of a personal nature or grievance nature, which is fairly common in public entity practice. And in past practice with this board, there has been matters that have been appealed to the board that probably could have been more efficiently presented.
Okay. Any other? Shall we maintain? Anything else on that page?
No, I'm just concerned that the appeal process seems to have been truncated there. And I continue to be concerned about that. Perhaps an explanation from Ms. Lara would be in order.
Sure. Okay, let's move on to discipline and appeals procedure. Is there anything here?
A redundancy on 5020, page 1, grounds for discipline, paragraph B, bravo. It says unexcused absences or absences without leave. Is there a difference?
Probably, yeah, an absence without leave.
To me, that's an unexcused absence.
Yeah. What is the distinction there? I was puzzled over that.
Is there anybody can... something we need to ask?
An administrator can grant an absence whether or not there's leave available. And it just covers both situations.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Okay, it's not as in the military... A wall, absent without leave.
It is, but the private is a little bit more lenient than the military.
Okay. You all right with that?
I don't know, it just seems redundant to me. An unexcused absence is an unexcused absence. I don't see the need to have absent without leave.
Well, they added that in, so there must be a reason that we can, you know, about, but I just think it's just covering everything, just making sure they cover every absence.
Okay.
5020, page 2.
Oh, excuse me. On that page, we have some letters.
Need to be changed, yeah.
Crossed out, so the whole letter identification has to be changed on that page in page 2.
Yeah.
5020?
Yeah.
Yes, 5020, paragraph 4.
Where like E was deleted, so then that E's gone, so you take from D, make F, E, and then go on like that.
Right. Yeah. I have a question on the next page.
Okay. page 2 on 5.2.
Yeah, the very first line, blood having a blood alcohol concentration of 0.00.
They crossed off the 2 or greater.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, we better check that.
That one is an important one. Other than that, I have no questions on that page.
Director Hill.
So, types of discipline, minor corrective counseling, shall document the, this is middle of the page, 5020, number 2, 5A paragraph. Supervisor shall document the verbal warning and provide a copy to the employee. How is that different from a written reprimand? I mean, either it's verbal or it's written, right? The corrective counseling seems to me to indicate we want to do a verbal, but then we're making it written.
I see what you're saying, but I think it's just...
Madam Chair. It's
two different things. Go ahead.
May I explain? Yes. So there are different levels of a discipline. There's the oral reprimand, then the written reprimand, and so forth, one day off, et cetera. So when you give an oral reprimand, you still have to document it, and that is what this sentence is trying to accomplish. It still has the same severity in that it's still the most minor correction.
Is that okay?
I guess. Just wondering why that's... why that's documented. And then the appointing authority on paragraph B is the district administrator. And is that the intent, that only the district administrator would issue a written reprimand? Or would a supervisor have that ability?
The appointing authority may issue a formal written notice. So would that cover, like, if it was this, say, the superintendent? Is that what you're trying to say? If it,
yes. Mean
either a superintendent or the administrator?
Administrator, yeah. Yeah. Whichever
later
the appointing
on
authority
it talks
is.
About the appointing authority being the administrator.
What do you think, Mr. Carp? Is that something we need to...
I don't have that answer. All I can do is note that and check with other people on that.
Okay. Page 2, page 3, is there anything that you want to...
Well, just note that the appointing authority language is also on 5020, page 3.
Okay.
Third line up from the bottom.
Yeah. 7. Under 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's move on to 5020, page 4.
And there's a typo on paragraph 2 at the top. It says if service under, I think the intent is to be 1, which is the Roman.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, the Arabic numeral at the top, and then it has like a Roman 1 or a letter I or L. And that should be an Arabic 1.
Okay. Got it on that one.
Next typo, paragraph C, paragraph 1. The employee may request an extension to respond.
Take out 4.
Take out the D. It's not and. It would be an extension.
Request. Oh, see, mine's already. Mine's just a little bit different. Request. It had 4 and. So we're going to have the employee request an extension.
An extension.
Wait a minute.
No, it is. It and may request. It and is.
And a D goes.
Strike the D.
I think it's written request of the extension, if employment request, and oh, you're looking at the top, yeah, an extension on the first line, but if his or her written request for an extension, okay, got it. I was on the, I was looking at the, okay, we're good.
So just the first word should be an, right?
Right, an extension. Okay. And that, everything else is fine. I don't see anything in the next two. On page six.
Nothing.
Page seven. This is all new.
Mm-hmm.
So so we're on 5020, page seven, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
nothing.
And that's okay. And then page eight.
Nothing there.
Your number two on page on the M on number one, and then there's number two. It says each side will be allowed to call examiner. Mine's been crossed out.
Yeah.
Yes, this is.
It just starts out to call examine and cross examine.
That's one of the enumerated rights. So I.
Okay, so that's got it. Got it. Okay. Anything else on eight? How about 5030 now on safety?
The only thing I saw there was on paragraph four. It says no smoking. I think it would be or use of e-cigarettes will be permitted.
No smoking and or use?
Could be and or, but or certainly.
Can add an or in there, and or. Okay. We'll move on to page 5040, page one, district vehicles and property.
Nothing.
I just have a question on the last paragraph six, which is new. Talks about apparently using a vehicle considered wages subject to income tax. Each direction is $1.50 in wages. Is that? I mean,
is that,
that
when
may,
did they put that,
that
in?
May be
is that a, some new something new, obviously.
Yeah,
but
determined
that may
by
be a
the
new
IRS.
Regulation. I'm not familiar with.
Yes, I'm not familiar with IRS rules either, so we will follow up with that.
It's $1.50.
But it
each
would
direction
seem to me that it's
commute. Like if you take it home for when you're on call, it's $1.50 to go home and $1.50 to go. Is that what it means? I don't.
That's what it means. And,
yeah.
And you know, I've watched these things over my career, and you know, sometimes the agency feels like it's a benefit to have that vehicle right close by, and they have to tax the person, and by making it $1.50, they're not going to tax them much. But I don't have that answer any more than Gil, so we'll check on it.
Okay.
Thank
All
you.
Right. Okay, I don't think there's anything else in that. But let me know when you want to stop again, because we still got a lot more on the agenda. Do you want to go through the substance abuse? Or is it?
I certainly can.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is all mostly all new stuff that covers current stuff that's going on. Things that so I think it all pretty much says it. I didn't see anything that needed done.
only thing I saw was a number two policy statement, the second paragraph. Policy applies to all full-time and part-time district employees and volunteers. Otherwise, it's like full-time, part-time, which...
Which page are you in? Oh, 5601.
5060, number one.
60?
5060.
5601, page one.
One.
Yeah.
It's right
number two here. Policy statement.
Okay.
The policy applies to all full-time, part-time district employees. I think the intent is all full-time and part-time district employees and volunteers. So I would just insert the word and.
Okay. All right. 5060, page two. Anything on there?
No.
Okay, moving on.
Sure. I'm sorry to be dense on this. I want to get the change that you're proposing. I don't see the problem, but it's probably because I'm just...
Well, it says, I know what it says.
This policy applies to all full-time, part-time district employees and volunteers.
If you put the and in, it's going to be redundant because it's after the third thing.
And volunteers, it says.
You know, when you'd write something full-time, part-time, and. You don't say full-time and part-time and.
It says full-time, part-time district employees and volunteers. If that's inappropriate or it should be better,
I'm
sorry, I'm having trouble, and I want to get it right. So
right, I know. I think, but it's...
Be patient, please.
We're talking about, it's just a grammatical thing. Policy applies to full-time and part-time employees and volunteers.
So you want another and in there.
Yes.
I'm okay with that. I just want to make sure I understand it.
Otherwise, it says full-time, part-time employees,
okay.
Which
thank you.
Is not clear.
Okay.
All right. So page 50602, anything?
No.
50603.
Nothing.
Nothing there. 50604.
Nope.
I would look at 50604, the subdivision 3 in the center of the page. The district administrator may allow alcoholic beverages on the premises of the district for off-duty events. That authorization shall be in writing. That seems to me to be obsolete, and I would suggest striking that. I don't think we want to encourage alcoholic beverages on the district premises for any reason.
I would imagine that is for, we're going to have a company picnic out on the lawn.
I would suggest that would be more appropriate in an off-site location.
Of course.
Should you desire to do that.
So we want to have no alcohol on the premises.
That would be my strong recommendation.
In this day and age, I think so. Because mm-hmm. If somebody were to drink and...
We got it.
Okay.
Loud and clear.
And above that, in item two, we've got... being impaired in any way and or having a 0.00% or more by weight of alcohol in one's blood.
Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something that has to do with measuring. I don't know.
I think it's a no tolerance policy.
Certainly it'd be no tolerance, but...
Yeah.
If you have... 0.00, does that suggest that there is something that's traced?
Well,
no.
Yeah, that's what it seems to be
well,
saying to me.
Let's just find out, ask her what that...
That's part of the same
just
question.
Just explain that to us, because it's
right.
In both of them, so
right.
There's got must be a reason.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so anything else, 50604? You okay with that? Did you have...
Yep.
With four, yes, I'm fine.
Yeah.
50605, the next page.
Second sentence on the page, unpaid leave time off. Again, seems to me redundant.
Will be considered for an accommodation of unpaid leave time off to participate in the program.
Yeah.
You would be considered to get unpaid leave to go to the program.
Yeah.
Well, unpaid leave is fine, or unpaid time off, either one. Again, it just seems like adding redundant terminology.
Unpaid time off, well, I think, yeah, I see what you're saying, but they added that, well, in there, so that must be a...
But since it's for purposes of a drug program, it seems like leave would...
It would be called a leave.
Leave to do this from the company.
It would be a minute.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay. How about the next page?
Maybe we want to strike time off then, so this
unpaid
is
leave.
Unpaid leave to participate.
You going to strike that time?
I'm going to put a question mark.
Question mark, mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Okay, so everything else is...
No other comment?
No comments. So let's move on to 50607. Any comments?
In the first paragraph at the top, it says management will require the employee to submit a medical evaluation, and I believe it wants to say submit to a medical evaluation, which is would be consistent with terminology that follows.
Okay, submit to a medical evaluation. Mm-hmm. Just add to there. Did you find that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else on that page? No. The next page, 8. Hmm. You okay with it?
I just am curious about the addition of to paragraph 11. It says discipline procedures will comply with section 5020. However, do not affect unpaid leave defined in subparagraphs 6 and 7 above. I guess that's okay. It's just mm-hmm. kind of an odd addition, I thought.
Okay.
Seven.
Anything on searches? Anything on any more of this?
No.
Anything on the smoking confidentiality?
Wait a minute. On 5069, I have a question. On the top sentence, supervisors shall not physically search employees. However, a supervisor may detain an employee with pay for a reasonable period of time to allow for arrival of law enforcement officials. I don't understand with pay phrase being used in there.
Yes, that is to address the situation where it is after hours and the employee would be entitled to leave work. So being required to stay with pay would allow the supervisor to require him to stay after hours.
Oh, okay. All right.
He'd be paid.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. How about on the next page, page 10?
Nothing.
Nope. Okay, then we're on 5070, page 1. Policy and complaint procedure against harassment, discrimination, and retaliation. A lot of new stuff here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not knowing what the current laws are. I'm sure it's just a regular update.
I have nothing on 70, number 1.
Number 2?
Nope.
First paragraph.
On page
at the top 2. Of 2 reminds me of our previous administrator. the second paragraph on 5070 number 2 says, for purposes of this policy and consistent with the district's zero tolerance policy, it is not necessary that the conduct to complain about actually rises to the level of unlawful harassment or retaliation for such conduct to be a violation of the district's policy. Thus, even if objectionable conduct is determined not to be unlawful harassment, that seems to me to set a separate standard that may allow for legal involvement and intervention. And I'm concerned about that.
Is that something you can answer now, legal counsel, or do you want to look? Is that second paragraph on 50702?
My basic question is are we establishing a gray area that's just going to get us in trouble?
Yes, the purpose of that language is retaliation and unlawful harassment has a very definite meaning in legal terms, and you'd require a court or judge or jury to make that determination. So the language that's proposed would allow an administrator to take remedial action if he feels that it's harassing but doesn't rise to the level of unlawful conduct. So it actually gives the more protection to the employee who's being harassed.
Yes.
That explain it to you?
That explains it, but it seems to me to the legal requirements, I think, are very clear. And having something that's at the discretion of the administrator seems to open the district to perhaps a counter-complaint.
Okay, well, make a note of that. And then we'll go on to 5070, page 3.
Nothing there.
Nothing there? Anything, Barbara?
No.
Okay, on 4.
Nothing there.
5.
Nothing there.
Nothing.
6.
No.
Nothing.
That's all that's new. 7. I didn't see anything.
7, there's a number of instances on this page in the subsequent pages, starting with paragraph 6 at the top. Maintain confidentiality of any investigation that the employer conducts by not disclosing the substance of any investigatory review, except as directed by the district administrator or chair of the board of directors / chair's designee. And I would suggest that this district has gotten in trouble with that in the past, in that the chair has no, other than for purposes of running the meetings, the chair has no authority separately than any other board member does. And I would delete chair and just say district administrator or the board of directors.
Are you talking about page 8?
This is 5070, page 7, paragraph 6 at the top.
Oh, so we have a different page. Understand that managers, is that the one that starts out?
That's my no, maintaining.
That's page, I think that's page 8.
That's page 8, okay.
Page 7.
Maintaining confidentiality.
Talks about the chair of the board of directors, which would seem to exclude the remainder of the board from information.
So is there a legal reason why, because I know sometimes they say that the chair would be privy, not the whole board, is that, or is it always the whole, if you tell the chair, do you tell the whole board? Are there instances where the chair is held responsible for, like what they're saying here?
Yes, there is. There's two approaches. One is to have everything come to the board of directors, and then one to have the chair, in consultation with professional staff, make decisions. Many times with personnel issues, it's impractical to come to the board and without calling a special meeting. So there's practical reasons for doing that, but it does allow the chair to act when necessary.
And I would object to that in that the chair, again, has no more authority than any other board member. And if it requires a special meeting, that's why we get the big bucks. And I don't see any problem with calling a special meeting under these very rare circumstances. And it could say the district administrator or any board member who would immediately refer the issue to council for notice to the other directors.
Well, again, this is all employees are responsible to maintain confidentiality, except as directed by the administrator or chair of the board.
And my point is that the chair of the board has no authority to do anything of this sort without the concurrence of the rest of the board.
Yeah, I don't see why it would come to the board in any event.
I don't see it coming to the board, but I don't see, this is in here, I don't see that it's a big,
I don't see it as a problem. It would again be a rare issue, but the board needs to act as a whole.
That's true.
So is that your pleasure to have them?
In the general practice, it's in the bylaws. But for these type of situations in a personnel policy manual where you're dealing with personnel issues, it's very rare that, in fact, I'd ask you to, in your entities that that you're elected to, do you see personnel matters coming before you? Never. It's just very uncommon, and it shouldn't be any different for a sanitation district than a city council community services district.
Once again, the fact that it's rare should make it no major deal to have it be the board rather than one individual member of the board. Not only do our rules, but if I'm not mistaken, the government code grants no individual member authority.
Is this something we can take for consideration with the human resources and ask them about? Because this is all new. There's a reason, so let's ask them why that's there. So it's 5070, page 7, number 6.
And
should we cite the other ones?
A6.
Yes, A6. Same question and have it handled all together?
Yes, please. A6, B4, C.
Let's mark them now. 6.
A6, that's on 5070, yes, page 7.
B4
on the same page. On 5070, page 8, item C. And 5070, page 9, item A at the top. C in the middle of the page, D in the middle of the page, on to 5070, page 10, second paragraph, paragraph B, paragraph B1, paragraph B4, 5070, page 11, the very last sentence on the page. And it continues on into 5080, page 1, last part of paragraph 2.
Okay. I think that, so all that up until there is okay, so and except for those, I think that's a good place to stop now for tonight.
As long as we're on 5070, page 6, item C, in the middle of the page, has two subparagraphs. They're absolutely word for word identical.
You say
5070, page 8.
Okay, so it's 6. Upon receiving
notification. Sub C in the middle has two subparagraphs.
Repeated twice. So just take one out.
Good
Very
catch.
Good.
Good catch.
Okay, so we're down to, where are we? We're at 5080 on the political activities, purpose, policy statement, definitions, and it goes over here into 5080, page 2, 3, and then I think we'll end there at these last 5080, 1, 2, and.
There's also a comment on my 5070, page 12. This is where the last 5080 harassment's been taken out. It says the contents below have been incorporated above. That probably should be taken out.
I don't have that on mine.
There may be just a comment in the copy I have, but it's
the contents. Oh, there it is. Okay. Okay, so we're.
That,
I see.
So yeah. That should be stricken. The contents below have been incorporated above.
Did you see that?
Yeah, it's a different color. I wonder if that was there. No?
Well, it's got the.
It's the same color as the sites above, so I don't know.
It's under harassment.
We'll put on there out with a question mark.
Out.
Yeah,
okay.
That should be gone. Did you want to continue on 5080?
Do you want to finish this political activity section?
Mm-hmm. Might as well. Two more pages.
I have no additional comment other than the chair of the board again that I've already mentioned.
Right. Okay. On to 5090. I think we'll call it good.
Yeah.
We'll stop at 5091. Under the technology usage.
Let's see, wait a minute.
Did you see?
That's 5090, fitness for duty. Did you want to continue with that?
Fitness for duty.
Or stop there?
Did you have comments on that one?
No.
Okay, I didn't either, so I think we'll just go through that one. I thought we'd stop on page 5091.
5091, okay.
Okay, we'll start again on technology usage, 5091. Okay. I'll take public comment now on the policy and procedure manual, policy, personnel policy.
Julie Tacker, and maybe people have pulled this up on their phones and they're reading along. I have my own copy, but there's not a copy for the public, and I think that's unfortunate. They may not be able to follow along. The 5,000, page one, where the district administrator shall make the final determination with no further right of appeal, kind of is similar to 50103, where the district administrator, the employees don't get to take it to the board. They don't get to go any further. I'd be curious if there's a draft somewhere where the union has looked at that and is in full concurrence with that language, just because I think you want your employees to be able to exercise all their administrative remedies before they sue you. And when we get down to talking about employees suing the district, the idea that the chair has some special powers over employee matters, whether it's rare or not, that employee can name you. I don't know that any one of you as chair, whenever somebody sits in that seat, wants to be sued. I know Ms. Austin isn't interested in what I have to say because she's not looking at me. But she, as the chair, if she were to enter into some of these discussions with employees, could be sued by that employee if the matter didn't get resolved the way they wanted. Now, sometimes the district's legal counsel can defend her, but not always. So I think you're on a very slippery slope on that whole idea that the chair has magical powers that they need to work with the district administrator, especially if the complaints are about the administrator, because that administrator is your employee, your collective board's. You are one, you're supposed to work together as one mind over that employee, that contractor. On page 5020, page 2, the addition on S of conviction for a misdemeanor or felony, I'm concerned about misdemeanor because it was added. I think that's draconian. And are you going to apply that to the current employees that work there? Because I think you might have some problems with misdemeanors in their pasts.
Any other public comment on the policies manual? Seeing none, we're going to move on to our next item, which is discussion of expanding the membership of the district board of directors.
Madam Chair, I received a letter from Andrew Brunet, who would like a letter delivered to you. If I can do that,
certainly.
I would be happy to do that. But he's not asking us to read it into the minutes or make it part of the minutes.
Okay. Okay, thank you. So do you have...
Madam Chair, we asked the attorney to look into this at your request after the last meeting, and he's prepared to talk about his memo if there's questions, and I'll just introduce him with that.
Thank you, Paul. So first, the disclaimer, this is not a definitive research memorandum on how we go about expanding the board, but it was a cursory look and quick review by myself into the statutes. And what is apparent is that whatever action the board desires to take, if any, would require a legislative change, which is completely outside the Board of Directors' power, and it'd be resting with the California legislature. So with that, I will be happy to answer any questions or...
Okay, so this is no action. We're not going to take any action. It's a discussion-only item. So did you want to say anything before we open up to public comment? I think we just want to get... There's been a lot of requests to have this on the agenda, so I thought we'd put it on there and get everyone, let them voice their comments, and then go on from there. So if you would like to...
Thank you, Madam Chair. The board, having a membership of only three, due to the Brown Act, prohibits any of us from discussing any issue related to the district with any other board member, whereas on the Community Services District Board in Oceano or the City Councils, a minority of the members on those boards and councils, two members out of five typically, can discuss, limited to themselves, any issue related to the business of that jurisdiction in conformance with the Brown Act. The Brown Act prevents a majority of the board or council from discussing any single issue, including serial meetings where the two who have the first discussion then take that somehow to a third member to extend that, and that would be a violation of the Brown Act. The discussion will have to be limited to a minority of the board or council, and that is often valuable in getting just a check on something that a board member may not be familiar with. They may want to discuss that with someone else who is on the board, and even any kind of an informational discussion is prohibited to this board because we have three members. District Council is absolutely correct, because the composition of this board is established by state statute. I've personally discussed this issue with our state senator, Bill Monning, and the prior assemblyman, Kacho Ishaji, and I've not yet discussed it with Assemblyman Cunningham, our current representative in the assembly, but I was told by both former Assemblyman Ashajian and Senator Monning that should the board, a majority of this board, recommend the change, that they would be happy to take that up at the state legislature. But absent a majority of this board supporting the expansion, they were not willing to do that. So that is the latest information that I have from state legislatures, and the point of expanding the board to five members.
Okay. Barbara, did you have any comment before?
I have been told that it's not really a difficult thing to make the legislative change. My biggest concern is how the other members would be identified and still keep control of the district in the hands of the three members, agencies.
Okay. I'm gonna go
there's,
ahead and
there's been a couple of suggestions. One would be that the two county supervisors who have whose districts overlap our district jurisdiction might be potential candidates for board membership. Another would be that directors be elected locally from people that reside in the district. So there's potential ways to do that, or potential persons that might serve on the board through those means.
Well, if the purpose of this is to avoid any appearance of non-cooperation against any one member, I don't see how that would, having someone from one of the three, two people from the three-member district would change those odds in any way.
Okay, I think I'm going to open it up now to public comment, and then we'll bring it back. So, anybody like to make public comment on this item?
Julie Tacker, and first I'd like to say that I believe the district has done some work on this, so if you look at Mr. Seitz's work, you might save yourself some legal time. As I recall, Mr. Scholes was supportive of the idea of having a community conversation about this. I don't think anybody is suggesting that you decide tonight how this is going to come down. What the suggestion is that you have the conversation with your communities. Go back to your agencies, go back to your city councils, and have it on your agendas. Fully flesh this out. Another idea is that maybe the member agencies do not have representatives on this district, and that it's a citizen vote for all five seats, and you just go out and however many apply, you know, or want to serve. Similar to, I think, how, you know, the Five Cities Fire Authority is struggling with the same thing, in that you have three people who can't talk to each other to assist in agenda matters. When you have an ad hoc committee of one to do something, it's awkward at best, okay? So I think if you would direct your staff to come back with the pros and cons, the different ideas of how the makeup may be filled out. Special legislation is not difficult if you're in concurrence as a board that you want this. I think, you know, I have talked to Assemblyman Cunningham's office, and they are happy to help all their constituents, and you are them. If this is something that it looks like your communities want, and your board fights it, the citizens can put forth an initiative and take the decision out of your hands, and that would be much more costly. And it probably would be controversial and become something, one more thing that you don't need in your community as far as discord. So I'm happy to see that Director Brunet, while he's speaking as a citizen, is in support of further research. That's all we're asking for, further research in expanding the board to five members. So thank you very much.
Just very quickly, I think it would be a good idea to do the research and bring it back, because if it goes out as a referendum, it will cost a lot of money. It'll cost everybody a lot of money. And it may go down if it's voted on by the whole public, and it may go up. So you don't know how that's going to go. But at least to bring it up in front of the public. We, the public, want information. I've been up here asking questions for 6 years now, 7 years, and I'm not getting answers. I want answers. I want information. That's all. I don't have a lot of trust in some folks here because I'm not getting answers to the questions. I'm not getting truth or false. I'm just not getting anything where I think there could be full disclosure. And I would be real happy, real happy. Thank you.
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. I think this is a real non-starter for Oceana residents. I often hear, well, Oceano doesn't, you know, only needs the one vote because we have a lower population. But Oceano bears the burden of the physical plant, okay? And I think it would really be wrong for the other members of the board to overrule Oceano. Right now, we have three people. Granted, the Brown Act can be an issue at some times, but it's not like the fire authority where you have many, many issues. The one issue is run the plant, okay? And Oceano is not gonna stand for having less votes. And, you know, we can discuss it, but I can pretty much tell you everyone in Halcyon will oppose it. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? We got the lights on now. Better talk quick. It goes fast. Oops, went out.
Mary, this is the Oceano. It seems like that this is this concept of expanding the board to five is really to appease one director, who Mr. Hill, who. Has difficulty working with others, it appears, in multiple arenas. Arroyo Grande, he is the mayor of Arroyo Grande. He has a board of five, and 90% of the time he's at odds with that board of five. And so I have to stand back and say, how much money are we going to spend on this? We've spent $3,000 tonight, at least, by putting this on the agenda and having legal and all the research. So, you know, we can't be all to everybody, and some people work in coalitions and they work in groups, and some people can't work in groups. They can work by themselves independently and well, but when it comes to group settings, they have difficulty. Some people shine in group settings, and so I have to remind this board that you have one function. You're not a city. You don't have multiple functions. You have one function, is to process the sewer. To have a board of five is just appeasing one director. I have to say the supervisors have already been on this board, and they turned their seat over to the city of Grover Beach, excuse me. So you've had three agencies who have paid for this plant for 30 years, and now to bring on others who have not been vested in this plant would not be fair to Grover Beach, to Arroyo Grande, or much less mostly to Oceano. So I would strongly consider, maybe you might want to think that maybe Arroyo Grande is big enough now where they might be at that point where they need their own sewer plant, and to break off and do your own sewer project and do it the way you want to do it, and have a board of people from Arroyo Grande and run it that way. And I think that really is the discussion that needs to occur. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Seeing none,
I'm going to bring it back to the board. And okay, so I put this on the agenda because we'd had many meetings where the public, the people back here, were asking to bring this item to the attention of the board. So, and the reason was they wanted it, the board expanded, was because they felt there was two against one the whole time, voting on things, so that they thought one of the board members was always being put down in the voting for things that, you know, projects. So what I've researched, and on all the major projects, that the reclamation, the redundancy project, we all vote. It's all been 3-0. The only time we don't vote, when it's 2-1, most of the time, it's on matters involving the warrants, paying the bills, and on items with the our administrator and things like that. So as far as this plant, I don't see that one person's being ganged up on. And so right now, in the midst of what we're doing right now, we're looking into hiring an administrator. We have many things on the table that we're doing. And so I wanted to bring this up so we could hash it out. I don't think this is the time to even have our staff look into the legislative part of it or do the homework. I think we have other things that are more important that the staff needs to be working on, and we still need to get an administrator. And then to the talk of two more people would only dilute Oceano's vote. Oceano will be diluted, and I agree 100% with the speaker who said that, because we do wear the brunt of the plant, and we deserve the same representation as all the other cities, which we have. There's the three people. I think it's in the best interest to leave it like it is, and I do believe you do have to before the legislator will look into it, all the board members have to agree. So I think if we want to even talk about this, I think we need to move it down the line, maybe after we get a new administrator and get things going in the plant, maybe we bring it up again. But right now, I just don't think it's the time to even look into this, and let's just move on with the job of running the plant, which I think is running very well. We have great employees over there, and you know, I don't like all the negative things you hear. That I want everyone to know that the plant is not out of control. It is in fine shape. There's a lot of things going on right now that have, and to have the people here bringing up the past administrators and things, it doesn't do any good. It doesn't move us forward at all. It's tiring. I'm just ready to move on, and I think this expanding the board is something we can bring up at a later date once we're over all these hurdle things that we've been going through in the last few months. So that's my ideas on it right now. So is anybody else?
I just want to comment. I've been on a number of boards, am on a number of boards, and it seems to me that 5 is a good number, 3 is a good number. You start getting beyond that, and you have people falling over each other with arguments, and very little gets done with any sort of consensus whatsoever. It's much harder to get a consensus among 15 people or 10 people or 9 people than it is 3 or 5. So I agree that now is a good time to think about the idea, keep it on the back burner until we get a new administrator and see how much the whole operation changes, if any, during that time.
Okay, so do you have any more comment, Jim?
Madam Chair, thank you. I'm not adverse to waiting until we have a new administrator, which hopefully will be in the very near term. But I think there are a number of benefits to having a 5-member district. board, no one has suggested any more than five, although that might be possible. I would think that I tend to agree with Director Nichols that beyond a five-member board becomes unwieldy. But there, I would respectfully disagree with the characterization that the plant is running just fine, given that we are down to four licensed operators, so we have no person who's capable of sampling and lab testing to make sure that we're in conformance with our license. And the fact that we just had a emissions violation against our permit. So I would question the hunky-dory characterization of what's happening there. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to move on to our miscellaneous items, written communications.
Madam Chair, I would ask to monitor the value for that last project in the end. And I wanted to share with the board that
there is some a little bit of a problem with giving you a direct answer. I have created an estimate for you that I think is close, maybe be a tad conservative as to what I think it cost. And the reason why I don't have the exact cost is that the person who wrote the book was directed not to bill separately for it by the previous administrator. And so I don't have invoices from her that distinguish when she was working on personnel, which she was doing quite a bit of, and when she was working on the policy manual. I do have all of her invoices. I do have the magnitude of them. I have a sense of what legal has contributed. I know what I've contributed and what Sweets contributed. And if you would like me to give you a number, I'm willing to do that and share that with you. But I don't have the exact number. Perhaps there is a log somewhere that consultant could go and spend some time doing that kind of research if my number is not does not sound reasonable to you. How would you like me to proceed? Do you want me to give you a number, or do you want me to just...
You say you have a number?
I have a number.
Go ahead.
$9,000.
Okay. So that, okay.
That's an estimate.
Right. Okay, thank you. Is there anything else?
No, thank you for providing the estimate.
Written communications, board member communications.
I don't have anything.
Do you have anything?
Nothing else, Madam Chair.
Okay, then we will, could we get a report for our closed session, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The board will recess to a closed session to discuss public employee appointment, title, district administrator.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I would appreciate your attention when I speak. I'd love to know how many applications you've gotten. I would love to know if you've all read all the applications, not just the ones that have been weeded out by your consultant. I think you owe it to the district to look at everyone who has taken the time to apply and then go beyond and do your own research on these applicants. And then just a holdover question, the correspondence from the city of Arroyo Grande asks that your technical consultants come and give a presentation up in Arroyo Grande, and I didn't... Right.
Yes. They asked for the status of the audit, which I can transmit the materials I've shared with the board to them at their request.
Yes. Okay, that is their request. I just wondered if they were going to get a response.
And I wanted to second that. I would like to know how many applications we got. I would like to do a search on our own besides. I'm really curious if all of you saw all of the applications. I think that's reasonable. I'd like to be assured that all of you saw all of the applications.
Anyone else? Thank you. We'll adjourn to closed session.